as the authority he's given us. So I'm continuing a series today. I've titled it Love Life. I've shared with you that it's God's desire that you love life and see good days. Now, when I say that, just so you don't get too religious on me, I'm talking about the life that God has given you and the path that he'd have you to walk, where he'd have you to function in the body of Christ in the world. He's got a plan for you, and it's good. And what I'm sharing with you in this series is that you and I, we can put some restrictions, some discipline, some boundaries in our lives that will help us. We don't just run free. We don't just run wild. We don't just do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, and hoping that God can take what we're doing and turn it into good somehow. We have God's will in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll get there next week. We won't get there this week. But how he said, if you want to enjoy, you want to love life and see good days, then here's some things you can do. We can get involved with what our Heavenly Father is doing, and it enables him to work his will in our lives. Or we can decide to take our own course of life, chart our own course of life, and walk our own path, and he really can't do much about it because he's given you the right to choose. Even when it comes down to salvation in Jesus Christ, I made the decision to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. If I hadn't made that decision, Jesus would still be knocking at the door wanting to know if he could come in. Yes? So, I said we can contribute to our pursuit of life and good days by adding some disciplines, some restraints or controls in our lives that will assist us. Now, restraints and controls are good. They are. Nobody's going to take life away from you by putting some boundaries in your life. I used an example. Those of you that live here in Sioux Falls, and when you lay down at night, do you open up the doors wide and leave them open? Do you just open your doors and invite everybody in whenever and however? So doors are a good thing. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Boundaries and restrictions in your life, when they're godly, when they're appropriate, when they're righteous, when they're holy, they're good things. I'm not talking about being legalistic. I'm not talking about how you wear your hair or how you wear your clothes. I'm talking about how you think, what you say, what your behavior is, and your attitude. Okay? So go with me to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28, and we'll begin there. Proverbs 25, verse 28. It says, whoever, that means everybody, right? Doesn't matter where they've come from, what their family name is, where they go to church, where they don't go to church, okay? Whoever has no rule, no dominion over their spirit. In other words, you're just not putting any boundaries or restrictions in your lives. You're just doing whatever feels good or whatever looks good or whatever you think is good. And it's, I guess I'd have to ask this question, how's that working out? And we could probably all bring to our remembrance someone we know that is living their life without boundaries, living their life without restrictions, and it's not working for them. They're involved in activities and with people that are not profitable, and it's destroying their lives. So whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down. Now, I asked you last week to get an image. What does it look like to you to be looking at a city that's broken down? First thing I think of is weeds everywhere, houses in shambles, no law, no social or moral integrity, no job opportunities, no industry, in other words, no financial opportunity. When I look at a city that's like that, I'm saying you cannot prosper there because there is no community to help you move forward. In case you don't realize it, nobody moves forward by themselves. It's impossible. Hello? Okay. So, he who has no rule, has put no restrictions or boundaries or controls on himself is like a city broken down without walls. You know, when you have no walls, you're vulnerable. Now, in our societies today, we don't have walls like they used to. When this was written, they understood walls. You know, it's kind of foolish to build a wall when they have rockets and airplanes and missiles. You know, it's, what good are they? So, but at one time, they were effective in managing the entrance and exit in their cities. It's also good and profitable for you and I when we manage what comes into our lives and what goes out of our lives. True? How many of you, I'll just use this as an example, how many of you are careful what you eat? Is that a bad thing? That's a good thing, isn't it? And I'm not talking about excessive eating. I'm talking about there are certain foods that are not good for me. You know, I love coffee. I love the taste of it, but it does not like me. It doesn't treat me right. Now, I can either put up with the way it treats me, or I can put a boundary in my life when it doesn't have access to me. That's kind of what I'm talking about. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. So whoever has no rule on his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So if I have no walls, not only am I vulnerable, I'm defenseless. I'm subject to invasion. And again, I cannot control the entrance and exit of my life. The Message Bible says that in this verse, it says you're like a house without doors and windows. Wow. We don't want that, do we? No, we want to be able to control some things. What happens in our lives, what comes in, goes out. So go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 through 12. God wants to do good in your life. God wants to bring blessing to your life. God wants to get you on his path of life that where you can love life and see good days. Now that path is already there in your life. You just need to do something to help you stay on it. Last week in verse 8, I showed with you, it says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, and be courteous. Last week, we covered one mind. Somewhere in our lives, we need to be willing to work together with people for the common good, to move forward for something. And I use this example in the home, husband and wife or whatever. And I shared, you know, Kat and I have been married a long, long time, 54 years, and that girl still thinks for herself. She has a mind of her own. She has her own thoughts, her own ideas. She has her own attitude. She has her own beliefs. She has her own way of living. Now, we're not always the same. We don't always agree on everything. Sometimes we have different thoughts. Sometimes we have a little different perspective. Sometimes we don't agree on how we can get to a given point, but we always come together and agree for what's best for the team. Somehow we've got to begin to bring ourselves together and work toward a common goal. It doesn't have to be my way, but we do need to arrive at our destination. And I used an example a week ago of King Solomon's son, Rehoboam. When it came time for him to be king, he forgot, or he never did learn that people only follow you when they want to, and they won't follow you because you command them to. And the leaders of Israel came to him with the stated purpose to make him king. They asked for two things: lower the labor demands and decrease the taxes, because Solomon had this huge building program, and he was excessive in his labor demands and his taxes. But he didn't listen. He got the idea that he could rule because he had a position. And so he spoke roughly to the leaders of the tribes of Israel. Now, he might be king, but he doesn't lead the tribes. Only if they choose to. Got that? So he talked roughly to them, and they got together, and their counsel back to him was, stick it in your ear, we're leaving. He lost 11 tribes. So, you know, if you're not careful, if you're not willing to come together, if not willing to have the same mind, you can lose your influence, you can lose your husband, your wife, your children, you can lose your business, you can lose the will of God for your life because you will not work together with the people that God has around you. Come together, be of the same mind. The second thing we talked about was have compassion one of another. Compassion is love in action. It's when we talk about, oh, I love you, but if it's not moving you, it's not compassion. Vicki might tell Randy that she loves him, but she does nothing to help him care for the children, care for the grandchildren, to build a home, to build a life, then there's no compassion there. Did you get that? Yes. It's only compassion when the love of God is moving you to action. An English dictionary definition of the word compassion says this: it's a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune. And it's accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. It kind of sounds like, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So God's love moved him, okay? We find throughout the New Testament where it says that Jesus was moved with compassion. So that's what we covered last week. This week we're going to start with love as brothers. In verse 8 there, it says love as brothers. Actually, the Greek word there for love is Philadelphia. That's why they say love as brothers. That's what it means, brotherly love. How many of you have brothers and sisters? How many of you have brothers and sisters that are not perfect? How many of you still love them because they're your brother and sister? Isn't that something? It's a family thing. Because they're a brother or a sister, you know them. You know what they're like and what they say and what they do and how they conduct themselves. And like everybody else, they come with a package, and you can't, it's not a buffet. You have to take the whole package. And you've got to make a decision, because this is my brother or this is my sister, I'm going to love them. It doesn't mean I'm going to put up with their foolishness, but I'm going to love them. Yes? Well, what the Lord is trying to help us here is to get on this path where we can love life and see good days, and we as believers need to love each other as brothers and sisters. That means, I know that you're not perfect. I know that you're like I am. You come with a package. And because we're brother and sister, we love each other anyway. We don't discard one another. We don't discount one another. We're family. Can we agree on that? And I believe that Jesus is even taking us a step further. When you and I are walking through the world, we need to begin to love the people out there as if they were our brothers and sisters. I know they're not. And I know they're doing things that are just really disgusting to you. But nevertheless, if I'm going to touch their lives, and I'm going to give them something to see that's different than what they're living in, then I'm going to begin to love people as if they were my brother and sister. That means I love you no matter what you're doing, no matter who you're, because you're my brother or you're my sister. Now, the Bible says you overcome evil with good. And I would like my neighborhood to be different, my city to be different, where I work to be different, or where I go to school. Well, it all starts with me. And there's a lot of people I'm around every day that don't know the Lord Jesus. They're not walking in the light. They're not walking in peace. They're not walking in joy. They're not walking in mercy. They're not walking in kindness. They're not walking in goodness. But where I start. How many of you know you can't live for somebody else? So it's where I start. I have to change my thinking and begin to rejoice in the fact that I'm going to love them. See, that's my decision. You get that? It's my decision. And you cannot make that decision for me, and you can't change it. I get to make that decision. That's my right. I have a mind of my own. And I choose to walk with people as if they were brothers and sisters, to love them that way. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 says, He who loves his brother abides in the light. Now, of course, what he's talking about here is walking in the light that the Father brings into our life, the truth, the understanding, the peace, the joy. God has a path of life for you to walk on that you can love and you can see good days, and we need to walk under his light so we can see what we need to do. And it's a choice on my part to love my brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter where they go to church. Hello? It doesn't matter what they believe. It doesn't matter what they say. Why? Because I made a decision. I am going to love as if they're my brother and sister. I've got a younger brother that we look a lot alike. And he was coming home from some place the other day, and he stopped at a gas station, and this lady walks up to him and says, I've seen you somewhere. I've seen you at Mercy Hospital. Now, so he calls me. He says, is there a Mercy Hospital in Sioux Falls? I said, no, but there's one in Sioux City, and I've been there a few times. He said, that woman was convinced that she knew me and had seen me. And I said, you just better hope I don't do something I shouldn't. Now, that's a big part of loving as brothers, and we'll get to it here before we're done. If I'm going to love you, then I'm not going to do something to hurt you. I'm not going to speak evil of you. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. I'm not going to keep account of a wrong. I am not going to return evil for evil. I'm going to treat you as a brother or sister. Now, if when I do that and I make that decision, then I put myself where I'm abiding or I'm living under the light of God. I can see, I can understand. All of a sudden, Randy, I find myself on that path where I can love life and see good days. But I can make a choice to get off of that light path. I can. But I choose to stay on it. He says, so he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause of stumbling in him. That is literally what it's talking about, is you're not causing others to stumble. That word stumbling there is scandalon. It's a snare. It's talking about cause of displeasure or sin. I'm not causing my sister here to sin. I'm not causing her to stumble by my behavior, by what I say, what I think, how my attitude is. Now think about this. I know we don't always like this, but I really am responsible for how you perceive my life. Whether we want to be or not, we are examples unto our world of righteousness. Hello. Thank you. You guys get so excited. And you know, that's kind of a heavy load if you look at it incorrectly. I'm not going to be responsible. But I am. It's too late. Because I'm a believer in Christ. Amen. I am responsible by how you perceive my life. I'm responsible what you hear me say. I'm responsible for you see my attitudes. I'm responsible about what I do. If it has the option to lead my brother into sin, then I shouldn't be doing what I'm doing, even though it might be all right with me, but maybe it doesn't work for him. Hello. You see, if I'm going to love you as a brother or a sister, then I'm going to do in your presence what is best for everybody. It's not just about me. You know, my life is bigger than my house. Hello. My world is bigger than my house, but my influence is bigger than just Kathy and I and Terry and Tracy. Hello. My influence is bigger than just you. Now, we talk about together we can, transforming our nation, transforming our world or our community or our neighborhood or where we work. Where does it start? Starts right here with me. Starts with each one of us. I make a choice. I'm going to love people as if they're brothers and sisters. Well, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know how ugly they are. Listen to me. You overcome evil with good. People are led to Christ by the goodness of God, not by the law. Okay? And God has placed you where you are to be a light. Hello. He's placed you there to be an example. He's placed you there because you can be responsible to be the person that he wants you to be. You can do that. So he said, love his brothers. When you do that, you walk in the light and you are not causing others to stumble and you're not stumbling yourself either. Okay, so love his brothers. The next one is be tenderhearted. Literally, it means soft-hearted. Be sympathetic, full of compassion. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. To be tender-hearted, I mean, you can be impacted. You can be touched. I always think about the Good Samaritan as he came and that guy that was robbed and beaten and left for dead. He was touched with the infirmity that that man was facing, to the extent it moved him to get involved. Now, I'd be willing to bet that everybody in here, just like me, you've had moments in your life when you were not tenderhearted. There's probably certain people in your life that, if you were to be honest about it, you've had visions of them perishing. And maybe you even had visions of you helping them into the next eternity. You know, they show up in heaven, you're with them, say, God, I don't know how it happened, but they died. There they are. You take care of them. Or we look at our world, we look at people around us, and you know, not everybody's clicking on all 8 cylinders every day. People do make mistakes. People say things they shouldn't. They act in ways they shouldn't. They have wrong attitudes. They say things they should, you know, all that. Sometimes they're evil to you, they're ugly, whatever. But what are we going to do about it? We're going to do what's right. And so I'm going to be merciful. I'm going to let my heart be tender. You see, when I got born again, God took my stony heart, redid it, and gave me a heart of flesh. It can respond. It can be molded. It can be moved. You know, we have a high priest who was a man so that he could be touched with our infirmities. Jesus came and became identified with us in every way. That makes him a faithful high priest. And it says here, talking about forgiveness, and I want to stretch this way beyond forgiveness, but even as God in Christ forgave you, how about even as God loved you? How about even as God was merciful towards you? How about even God is tender-hearted to you when you come to him with what's important to you? I can imagine that some of the issues I have seem kind of dinky to my father. I can imagine some of the things that I feel are catastrophic in my life are really inconsequential from his perspective. But yet, he doesn't turn me out. He doesn't say, I don't have time for this. He doesn't say, this is foolishness. He listens. And he answers. And he's willing to help me. Yeah, he's greater than I am. He's much more powerful than I am. He's the creator of all the universe. And I can walk in at any time, and he'll listen to me. So be tender-hearted. I have to be careful. I don't start shutting people out. You know, how many of you have had somebody hurt you with their words or their actions or their attitude? How many of you would say, Pastor, I really got hurt? Okay. If you're not careful in the aftermath of that, you'll build a wall around your life to protect yourself. I'm not going to get hurt again. I'm not going to be vulnerable again. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. You cannot love people as brother and sister without being vulnerable. Thank you for your encouragement. You cannot love life and enjoy good days or see good days without becoming vulnerable. If you're going to love someone, you're going to risk getting hurt. Even the people that you've, husbands and wives, you know that you love one another, but you still, from time to time, you know how it goes. Sometimes, you know, they're wrong. You know, they just are. You know how it goes. Yeah. So he said, be kind, tender heart, forgiving one, just as God forgave you, or just as he treats you. Jesus is our example. And what I always use for an example in this, particularly when we're talking about forgiveness, how many of you ever caught yourself in a position where, yeah, I'll forgive them as soon as they let me know they were wrong. I'll forgive them as soon as they ask me to. I'll forgive them just as soon as they come to me and we'll get to straighten out. Well, let me ask you a question. We're talking about the forgiveness that came from the Father. Did we have to go to him, or did he come to us? Was he guilty? Was he innocent? He didn't need the forgiveness. Who needed it? So he came to us first, right? He came to us bringing what we needed. We're living in a world that needs us. We're living in a world that needs our mercy, our kindness, our forgiveness, our tenderheartedness, our compassion. And brothers and sisters, let's not wall up our lives and we're waiting for somebody else to make the first move. Say, well, Pastor, I've tried that and they just rebuffed me. Well, that's their decision, not yours. Just someone after the first service came to me. Well, where I work, you know, it's this and this and this. I said, well, then I'll do this. Well, that's what I was thinking. But I said, I don't care what everybody else is doing. I don't even want to hear it. I'm only concerned about what you're doing. Don't live your life according to what someone else is doing. Don't let them decide how you're going to behave or what you're going to say or what you're going to do. You keep that decision. God gave it to you. That's that door in your life. Amen? So he said, be tenderhearted. Then he said, be courteous. Literally, it means humble-minded, having an honest opinion of yourself. In other words, don't be puffed up. Don't put people in a position where they have to defend themselves. You know, we can walk through life giving off this attitude where we're trying to make everybody else small and we're important, they're not. That doesn't work. Believe me, it doesn't work. I've tried it. Doesn't work. I think before I came to Jesus, I think this would be an adequate description of my life. I think I was arrogant. Throw rocks if you want to, but that's where I was. Jesus changed my life. He changed my heart. And I've had to grow out of that. And he says, be courteous. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of God. You know, our flesh wants to exalt ourselves. Our flesh wants to say, what about me? I want to be first. I want to be recognized. James said, humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he will exalt you in due time. God will lift you up. Now, there's a way to love life and see good days, and part of that is to be humble-minded. Let God lift you up. Don't exalt yourself. Hello? You say, well, I want them to notice what I've done. Forget it. Let Jesus take care of that. Amen. You just be the best you can. Do the very best you know how. You be the blessing. You contribute to their success, to their growth or whatever. God's keeping track, and he will lift you up in due time. We're talking about loving life and seeing good days. So there's five things there. He said, be of the same mind. Have compassion one for another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted. Be courteous. And then verse 9, First Peter chapter 3, verse 9, have said those five things. Take those five things that were listed in verse 8 and then do what verse 9 says. Number one, you're not going to return evil for evil. Oh boy, isn't that a big one? You know, some of us guys in here, we probably struggle with that. I know you girls would never have a problem with that, but some of us guys, we struggle with that. Yeah, I do. I think Randy understands me. I get it. You know, you kick me, I might take pleasure in kicking you back. No, that's not right, but I have to deal with that. And if I'm going to love life and see good days, then I need to avoid that. And I start with those five things that he listed here, make those a part of my life. And that way, when somebody is evil to me, I don't have to be evil back. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be tenderhearted. I'm going to be courteous. I'm going to have the same mind. You know, all that stuff. Because Returning evil for evil does not move me forward. It might make your flesh feel good, but it doesn't move you forward. And God is the one that's going to exalt you. God is the one that's lifting you up. God is the one that's promoting you, not the people you work for. Hello? And not the people you work with. Not the school you go to. You know, where you go to school does not depend, does not determine your future. Thank you for your encouragement. Make a difference where you are. Go to your job and you be the light. And they're being evil. They're saying, don't railing for railing. They're saying ugly things about you. They're talking lies about you. They're making it difficult for you. Okay, that's the truth. But what are you going to do about it? Who's going to be the bigger person? Who's going to be the child of God here? Who's going to be the light? Who's going to be the salt? The person that chooses, I'm not going to do what you're doing. I'm not going to act the way you're acting, because God has called me to be a blessing. That's what it says here. Not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing. Knowing that you were called to this. To what? To be a blessing. Hello. Now, think about this. Wherever you are in life, whatever God's got you doing, the people that are around you, whatever, you are there to be a blessing. But Pastor, they don't treat me right. They cuss all day. They talk ugly things. Well, praise God, you're in a wonderful place because you're the light. You found your purpose. You're there to take your city. You're there to take your neighborhood. You're there to take your school. You're there to make a difference. So, I'm there, Bush, to be a blessing. I've used this story so many times, but Kath and I, when we were living in Illinois, we would go to this one Pizza Hut, and there was a lady there that was waiting, she was a waitress out in the area, and she was cranky. Oh, my. I mean, when you walked in the door, you would ask yourself, ooh, who turned her lights out? She was really bad. But we started doing what they said. We started being nice to her, thanking her, encouraging her, leaving her a nice tip. And all of a sudden, she warmed up to us, started turning around. And when we got ready to leave Peoria to come here, she had all of her coworkers get together, and they threw a party for Kathy and I because we were leaving town. Now, that didn't happen by accident, Pastor Terry. That happened on purpose. Randy, what happened there was not dependent upon my neighborhood or what I was facing. It was dependent upon what I was going to do. What are you going to do about the evil you're facing in your life? What are you going to do about the cranky people in your life? What are you going to do about the mean people? What are you going to do about the ones that are calling you a liar, ones that are spreading lies or talking ugly about you, disparaging you, demeaning you? What are you going to do? You've been called to bless and not curse. For why? Go to the next frame. That you may inherit a what? Blessing. That you may inherit a blessing. You want to love life and see good days? Take those five things, put them in your life. And when you have the opportunity to return evil for evil, don't do it. When you have the opportunity to gossip and return back to them what they've been saying about you, don't do it. You start being a blessing. The word blessing means to say something good, say something nice. Yeah. Say, well, I don't know what nice to say about him. You can always tell him, you know, I just appreciate what you're doing. Thank you for how you're helping me here. Thank you for what you're doing. Or maybe thank you didn't cuss me today. I don't know. Something. Yeah, really. Amen? Well, we'll pick up there next week. We finally got to the point in verse 10 where it says that if you want to love life and see good days, then do these things. Okay?